spoken about tefillah, and now we're speaking about Tzedakah, the third in that triumvirate. So really just want to share with you a few thoughts, learn with you a few sources, and hopefully, oops, lost ourselves. What's happened there? Just a moment. We'll start again. Good evening, everybody. Third in the session. We've done tshuva. We've spoken about tshuva. We've done tefillah. And this week we're speaking about tzedakah. As I said, want to share with you some thoughts, learn with you some sources. Hopefully it'll enhance our understanding of the Yamim Noraim. So the point that I want to begin with is really a question about what exactly is tzedakah? Why is tzedakah so important? The pasuk in Mishlei says, "Utzdakah tatzil mimavet," that tzedakah can save a person from death. So we see that tzedakah is very, very potent. But what's its potency, particularly with regard to the notion of teshuva and the notion of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? So Rav Soloveitchik makes a number of interesting observations, which I think are very, very important for our purposes. The first observation he makes is, let's look in Chumash and find the earliest example of giving tzedakah. So we know that Avraham Avinu is described as a person who instructs his family and his household to do tzedakah, but it doesn't tell us exactly what tzedakah is. Rav Soloveitchik makes the observation that the first example we have of tzedakah is after the Chet HaEgel, after the golden calf, the Bnei Israel were told to build the Mishkan. And he makes the observation, why was it necessary for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have a Mishkan? Melocho Haaretz Kevodo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu fills the entire world. He doesn't need an abode, a physical abode. So there are lots of answers given in the Mefarshim and in the Rishonim as to what the purpose of the Mishkan was. But certainly, one answer that we can give is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the people to make a financial or monetary donation, contribution, after the Chet HaEgel. Now, there were no poor people in the Midbar. In the Midbar, everything was provided for the people as they needed. We learned it the other week that, you know, they didn't need new clothes and they didn't need much food, and they got food from Shamayim, etc., etc. They had the booty from Mitzrayim. They had the booty from Yamsuf. But what did they need? There was nobody who needed tzedakah. So therefore, tzedakah, as it were, had to be given to something communal, a communal activity, communal effort, and that was the building of the Mishkan. Why was it so important, though, that they give tzedakah? And Rav Soloveitchik says, because what was the motivating factor behind the Chet HaEgel? The motivating factor behind any sin is a sense of selfishness. A person sins because, even though we've been told we have to do X and we mustn't do Y, our own personal desires are different, and we want to do Y or we don't want to do X. And therefore, our sense of selfishness, meaning us being what we want to be, motivates and causes us to sin. What is tzedakah? Tzedakah is a lesson in selflessness. I'm giving away something that I worked hard to get, that I want, that belongs to me, and I'm sharing it or giving it to somebody else. And that's the exact opposite of being selfish. And therefore, tzedakah is an antidote to sin, because sin is a model of selfishness and tzedakah is a model of selflessness. And that is why the Bnei Israel were told to give the money for the building of the Mishkan, to change their attitudes towards themselves, which caused the sin of the Chet HaEgel. So I think that's an important idea for us to internalize over the Yamim Noraim, that so much about what we're trying to achieve is really to become less selfish people in terms of our relationship with others, and also in terms of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A person sins because they want to do it their way rather than doing it HaKadosh Baruch Hu's way. So that's the first observation to make there. The second observation is that we should regard giving tzedakah in the context of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur as being a form of ransom. A person who sinned, he says, is a form of a captive. We are captive to our sins. Once we've sinned, our sins become masters over us rather than us being masters over them. And we need to redeem ourselves. And the classic mode of redeeming a captive is by paying a ransom. And that's what we do with our tzedakah on the Yamim Noraim. So I think it's worthwhile bearing in mind and internalizing that idea that we've become taken captive by our sins. That's what's defining us now. We've shown that we're not in charge of our own destiny because we've allowed ourselves to sin and become defined in that way. And one of the ways we try and address it is by redeeming ourselves. A third observation that he makes, which I think is very, very important, particularly at this time of year, he makes the observation that according to the Gemara and the Poskim, there's a notion of kofin al hatzdaka, which means that we force people to give tzedakah. The halakha is, particularly if there are wealthy people, that the Beit Din can compel them to give tzedakah. The Beit Din can come along and say to them, you're a wealthy person, you've earned however much in the past year, you have to give X amount to tzedakah, and they're even allowed to confiscate property so that that person and either use that itself as the tzedakah or as a way of forcing a person to give tzedakah. Now, this is somewhat paradoxical because we talk about tzedakah as being charity. And the notion of charity seems to be something which, you know, I feel charitable in my heart. I want to do this. I feel a sense of kindness towards the person who's in need, and therefore I want to give it. Where tzedakah is enforced, it seems to be the opposite of charity. This is something that I'm being compelled to do rather than self-motivated to do. So Rav Soloveitchik explains that the purpose of compelling us to give charity is to show us that our money is not really ours. That this isn't mine. It's not mine to keep. And therefore, I can be forced to give it away because it's not mine. It's not mine. I might be responsible for it. I might be, if you like, the treasurer of this money, but it's not actually mine. There's a famous story I've heard it told about Sir Moses Montefiore. I've heard it told about the Albara Bonnell. Who knows whether it's a true story or an apocryphal story and exactly who it's about. It doesn't really matter. There's a story that once upon a time, Sir Moses Montefiore, who was, of course, part of the Rothschild family, his wife was a Rothschild, and he himself was a very wealthy person. He was once asked, how much money does he have? And he gave a modest answer, at least modest by his standards. He said, I don't know, £20,000, £30,000, whatever it is, which, of course, in those days was quite a lot, but it only represented a small fraction of his own fortune. So he was challenged, and the challenger said to him, "You know, how can you say you've only got 20,000, 30,000 pounds, whatever it is? I know you're a wealthy man. What's happened to the rest of your fortune?" So Moses Montefiore answered him and said, "No, the money that I've really got is the money that I've given away. That's what I've given. That's what I've really got. Anything else, I could lose overnight. The markets could change. Something could happen. I could lose my entire fortune overnight. But anything that I've given to tzedakah is something that I've given permanently. And the zechut of that is going to stay with me forever." It's worth mentioning the Chafetz Chaim in this context. In actual fact, today, Kaftalad Elul was the yahrzeit of the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim has a work called Ahavat Chesed, and this deals with the mitzvot of Gemilut Chasadim. Of course, tzedakah is part of the mitzvah of Gemilut Chasadim. And the Chafetz Chaim makes the observation that Chazal tell us that in actual fact, Gemilut Chasadim is superior to tzedakah. Why? Because Gemilut Chasadim, you do Bein B'Mamon or Bein B'Gufo, whether with you can, sometimes you'll do it with your possessions, sometimes you'll do it with your body, whereas tzedakah is only with your possessions. Gemilut Chasadim, you can do to those who are alive, and you can also do Gemilut Chasadim for those who've passed away, Halvayat HaMeit and such things. Whereas tzedakah can only be done with people who are alive. So Gemilut Chasadim is, generally speaking, superior to tzedakah. But he makes the observation that there can be circumstances under which tzedakah is superior to Gemilut Chasadim. Why? He says, because with Gemilut Chasadim, you're not giving anything away permanently. You're either helping a person physically, or even if you're giving them something, it's a loan. A loan is an example of Gemilut Chasadim. Lending somebody something that they know is an example of Gemilut Chasadim. But in that instance, you get it back. Whereas with tzedakah, you give a person money, you're not getting it back at all. And therefore, there are circumstances in which tzedakah is superior to Gemilut Chasadim, and that's the nation. It's, we're not getting it back. We're investing it long term or permanently. It's a permanent investment in our spiritual future. And in actual fact, Rabbi Sachs, Zichrono Livracha, he makes the observation that we've got two terms here. We've got a term of tzedakah, or the Hebrew term is tzedakah, but tzedakah translates in two ways. If you ask a person what's the meaning of the word tzedakah, he says half the people will say it means charity, and the other half of the people will say it means justice. And the honest truth is that both terms are true. Sometimes tzedakah is given as charity. A person is self-motivated to give it. And sometimes it's given as justice, meaning we are obliged to give it rather than just we want to give it. He says, I'm quoting from a piece in Covenant and Conversation, where he says the idea of tzedakah arises from the theology of Judaism, which insists on the difference between possession and ownership. Ultimately, all things are owned by God, creator of the world. What we possess, we do not own. We merely hold it in trust for God. And therefore, it's not our money to keep, and it's not our money to give away. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu's money that's entrusted with us to be dispersed. And that's, I think, an important notion with regard to the nature of what tzedakah is. Rav Hirsch, in actual fact, makes a slightly different distinction between the circumstances under which tzedakah can be forced and the tzedakah is personally given. And this is made also by Reb Chaim Brisker and others, that we've got two types of tzedakah. We've got communal responsibilities and personal responsibilities. Nobody can force me to pay my personal responsibilities, but there is a communal responsibility of giving tzedakah, and that I can be forced to do. And Rav Hirsch actually made the observation that neither one by itself is sufficient. You need both the communal aspect of communal institutions providing tzedakah and the personal aspect as well of individuals giving tzedakah. And he says, neither one by themselves would be able to fulfill the requirements, and each has to strive to outdo the other, working side by side, if the goal which we want to achieve is to be achieved. Now, the Rambam addresses Hilchot Tzedakah in Hilchot Matnot Aniyim. Hilchot Matnot Aniyim literally means the gifts to the poor. It's in Sefer Zeraim, because Sefer Zeraim, because it starts off with all the tithes, etc., that a person has to give, and Leket Shichcham Peah and such rules, and then he goes on to discuss the mitzvah of tzedakah. And there are a number of psukim associated with the mitzvah of tzedakah. And in particular, if we look in Sefer Devarim, if we look in Perek Tet Vav, Pasuk Zayin, we find that we've got a pasuk which says, Ki yevcha evyon me'achad achecha b'achad sharecha. If you have somebody who is destitute from one of your brethren in one of your gates, ba'artzecha, in your land, asher Adonai lehecha noten lach, which Hashem your God is giving you, lo ta'ameitzet levavcha v'lo tikpotzeit yadcha me'achicha evyon. You mustn't close your heart or harden your heart or close your hand from giving to achicha ha'evyon, from giving to your destitute brother. And so we see there are a number of mitzvot associated with tzedakah. So we've got positives and negatives. Here we've got the negatives. Lo tikpotzet yadcha. Don't close your hand. In the next pasuk we have patach tiftach, you should open your hand and give generously. But before we go on to that, Rav Shamshon Rafael Hirsch makes the observation that look at who we're talking about giving tzedakah to in this pasuk. We're talking about me'achad achecha, giving to one of your brothers. V'lo tikpotzet yadcha me'achicha ha'evyon. You don't close your hand from giving to your destitute brother. So one way of reading the pasuk is to say, okay, the mitzvah of tzedakah only applies if it's achicha, if it's your brother, whether we're talking about your biological brother or somebody who's close to you, a relative, whatever, but it doesn't apply more widely. Rav Hirsch says differently. Rav Hirsch says the mitzvah of tzedakah, whenever anybody's in need, you need to regard them as being achicha. You need to regard them as being your brother. Anybody who's in need, you have to feel like this is your brother. And this is, a challenge we often have, with regard to tzedakah. We get lots of approaches, and some we want to respond to, some we don't want to respond to, etc., etc. And we'll talk a little bit about priorities in tzedakah in a moment. But sometimes our response is, this isn't my problem. They don't live locally, or they belong to another chevra or another kehila. It's not really my problem. But in actual fact, the pasuk says, "Me'achicha." That's me'achad achecha, me'achicha ha'evyon. That's the lashon in the pasuk. When a person is an evyon, when a person is destitute, we need to look at them as if they are our brother. And wonder, if they were genuinely biologically related to us, how would we deal with that? So that's an observation there. Just to add, and this leads us into the next point. In actual fact, I wanted to flag up a couple of halachot in the Rambam. So the Rambam says in Perek Zayin Halacha Gimel, it's always a big question, how much does a person need? I'm giving tzedakah, how much does the ani need? So I might think, you know, X is enough for them. The Rambam says, V'fima shechaser ha'ani atam tzuveh liteinu. We have to give the ani what they need, whatever they're lacking, we need to give them. Imein lo kasut mechasin oto. They're short of clothing, we provide them with clothing. Ein lo klei bayit, konin lo klei bayit. They don't have household utensils, we provide that for them. Ein lo isha, if the person's not married, masin lo isha, we marry them off. Imayit ha'isha, masin lo tala ish. Afilu hayat ha'akosh shel zeh ha'ani l'mkob al asus ve'eved ratz b'fanav. Even if this ani used to, the example is, you know, rides on a horse with somebody running in front of them. I'd say they, you know, they used to go around in a chauffeur-driven car. And the person then became poor. Then you buy them a horse and you make sure there's somebody to run in front of the horse. Make sure they've got not only the Daimler or the Jag, but you make sure they've got the chauffeur as well. So this is a very interesting halacha. Is it really saying that, you know, sometimes I can have to, you know, provide to that level of providing a driver and a car for a person? I don't even have a driver and a car myself. Why should I provide it for somebody else? So the Vilna Gaon makes a very interesting observation. Vilna Gaon says, look back at the pasuk that we quoted. It said, "Loch tikpots et yadacha." Don't close your hand when you've got to give tzedakah. Rather, patach tiftach. You should open it. And he says, when you close your hand like this, he says, you look at your fingers. And they're all the same length, as it were. They all stop at the same place. Whereas when you open it, you see that different fingers are different lengths. And he says, Lo tikpots et yadacha means, don't judge every poor person by exactly the same standards. Rather, patach tiftach. You have to open your hands and realize that different people have different needs and different standards which need to be catered for. But it's very interesting, this notion that, you know, we should really have to give tzedakah to that level. So there are a few observations to make. One observation is, I don't think it applies to a person who's been reckless with their money. I think, you know, if a person's been living beyond their means, and that's why now that, you know, they've gone into debt and they can't afford something, I don't think I need to help them afford it. If I've gone out and bought a Jag and I'm employing a driver, and then I come to you next week and say, you know, I can't afford the Jag and driver. You need to, I mean, you've got a mitzvah of tzedakah. Look in the Rambam, Perek Zayin Halacha Gimel. I think you're entitled to send me away with a flea in my ear. But if a person genuinely, you know, falls on hard times, they're living within their means and they've got, you know, responsible savings, but the markets change and they lose everything they've got, or their wealth is stolen, which of course was something that could happen in the old days, can happen nowadays. A person's made investments and turned out to be a fraudulent company or a Ponzi scheme or whatever it is. Sometimes you have this, you know, very wealthy people find themselves almost destitute. Why is it that we have a mitzvah of, you know, giving them de machsoro, everything that they're lacking? And I think the answer is because the mitzvah of tzedakah is more than just giving money. The mitzvah of tzedakah is about human dignity. It's about the person that we're trying to help. It's not just, you know, do they have enough money to put food on their plate so they won't starve? Do they have clothes so that they won't be cold? It's also about their sense of dignity. And I think in this regard, The halakha is really telling us something very special. That's for the person who was wealthy and has now fallen on hard times, it's not just the lack of money that they're suffering from, but it's the lack of status, it's the lack of self-respect, etc., etc. And that's what we need to look after as well. Tzedakah is about more than the money, but it's about dignity. In actual fact, talking about the dignity of the ani, Rabbi Sacks makes a further, really fascinating observation about a further halacha to do with tzedakah. There's a halacha that even ani hamit panis min hatzedakah, a poor person, has to give a certain amount of tzedakah themselves every year. Why does a poor person have to give tzedakah? In a certain sense, it makes, you know, I'm giving them money. Do I want them to then go and give away the money that I'm giving them? That's, I'd rather they use it. You know, I'm giving it to them to provide for them, not for them to give it away. Rabbi Sacks makes the observation that it's a terrible thing for a person to go through life only as a taker and never as a giver. And I would comment on that, if you like, to say that actually there are two aspects to that. Number one, it's, you know, to teach a person you shouldn't always be taking. You know, you have to be giving to others as well. It's bad midot only to be a taker. But there's also a notion, therefore you have to be a giver. But I think there's also a notion of the self-respect. A person who's only able to take if it's a well-rounded, emotionally stable person, they would feel bad about always being a taker. We want to enhance their dignity as well. Don't worry, you're not only a taker, you're also a giver. You're also providing for others as well. So I think that's some of the background to that halacha. Want to look a little bit further in the Rambam and just flag up a few halachot in Perek Yud. Perek Yud of Hilchot Matnot Aniyim. The Rambam starts off by telling us we have to be very careful, very particular about the mitzvah of tzedakah. More so than any other positive mitzvah. Because tzedakah is a sign, if we are charitable people, it's an indication that we are descendants of Avraham Avinu. Shneamar, ki yedativ leman ashei itzaveh et vanav et beito acharav. Got a pasuk which says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew that Avraham is a person who instructs his, as I said earlier, who instructs his household, la'asot tzedakah u'mishpat, to do, perform charity and justice. And it's a characteristic of Jewish people to be generous. And, you know, it's something that I very often notice. You know, there's a lot of criticism about the Gashmiut of Northwest London Jewry. And it's certainly true that in certain corners there is a lot of Gashmiut. I'm always reluctant to be critical of it. Why am I reluctant to be critical of it? Because I also see an immense amount of charitable giving in the community. You know, you look, open the Jewish News, the Jewish Chronicle, any week, you know, you'll see pictures from this fundraising event, that fundraising event, you know, tens and hundreds of thousands of pounds given to tzedakah. You look in the, particularly in the Haredi community, times like Yom Tov and Purim, people giving out hundreds and hundreds, and individuals giving out thousands of pounds to people who are needy because they've been asked to give tzedakah. And I think that's, you know, an absolutely wonderful thing. And you look at the amount of money that our community gives. I don't mean our specific shul necessarily. I mean the Jewish community. You know, is immensely charitable, and I often find it very humbling. You know, Baruch Hashem, I know some wealthy people who are very, very generous, you know, with their charitable giving, and they really regard it as Rav Soloveitchik made the observation that, you know, this isn't their money; they are only custodians of the money, and it's Hashem's money for them to distribute. And I think that's something, you know, very, very wonderful. And then the Rambam goes on to tell us in Halacha Bet that Olam ein adam ma'ani min hatzdakah, a person never grows poor as a result of giving tzedakah. Why don't you grow poor? Because as I said previously, you know, tzedakah, as the Chafetz Chaim indicates, tzedakah is a permanent, a lifelong investment. It's an investment in the future. It's true, you've given your money away, and you've bought something which is going to be eternal with it. We can't go to the next life with our money. We may as well do something very meaningful with it during the course of our lives. Very importantly, in Halacha Gimel, the Rambam tells us Kol ha'mar limeinav min hatzdakah. Anybody who ignores charitable causes is called Belial, is called a heartless, cruel person. And this is a very important notion. Oftentimes, you know, we want to overlook tzedakah, as we want to ignore somebody who's come our way, and we have an obligation not to do so. Particularly at this time of year. I'm always reminded of a story I heard, if I remember correctly, from Moriv Rabbi Harav Amital many years ago, of a certain chassid who used to come to the Rebbe every year, and the Rebbe would give him a bracha, and he'd give a very large donation to the Rebbe. And some years on, the fellow, the donations got smaller and smaller, and then the fellow stopped coming. And the Rebbe sent his gabbai to go and speak to the person, say, "You're not giving donations to my charities any longer. What's going on?" And the man explained, "Well, you know, business isn't so good for me these days. And to be honest, I don't really understand why not, but I haven't got the money that I once had." So the Gabba said, "You know, come and speak to the Rebbe." So he came and spoke to the Rebbe, and the Rebbe explained it, discussed it with him, and listened to him through a little bit. And the Rebbe said, "You know what? I think I understand what's going on here. So there was a stage when I used to every year give you a bracha. And Hakadosh Baruch Hu showered his blessings on you in a very generous way. And you were very generous with your money as well. And you gave a lot and you got a lot from Hakadosh Baruch Hu. But then you started being more discerning in who you gave your money to. You started asking yourself questions. Should I give to this person? Shouldn't I give to this person? Etc., etc. Sometimes you gave and sometimes you didn't give. And I suspect," says the Rebbe, "the HaKadosh Baruch Hu also became more discerning. And I was asking him to give bracha to lots of people. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, 'Well, Ploni Almoni there, he doesn't give to everybody who asks him for. So why should I give to everybody that I'm asked for? And I'm also not going to give to that person.'" And we've got this notion of, you know, if we close our eyes to needy causes, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu might choose to close his eyes towards us. And this does raise, of course, a very significant problem, and it is worth discussing. Which is, I mean, my main motivation this evening, of course, is to encourage people to give generously, certainly over the Yamim Noraim period, and to use the mitzvah of tzedakah to turn us all into being more generous people in all ways, not just by writing a check and that's it and we've done it, or making a bank transfer, however we do it, but genuinely being being more generous as people. The question is, you know, what's counted as an ani? It's interesting, if we look through the Rambam talks about people who are destitute, who don't have clothing, who don't have food. And there's discussion in the halakha about, you know, how much money does a person need to have to be entitled to claim tzedakah. So the Gemara and the Rambam give certain amounts. They talk about 200 zuz, etc. That's presumably a relative term. And so nowadays, where the cost of living is much more than it was in Talmudic times, so presumably you can be an ani even if you're earning £200 a week. You're not going to be wealthy with that, and you're going to struggle probably to make ends meet. Certainly, if you've got to live somewhere and you've got a family. Though many of the demands or requests that come to us, of course, are not necessarily from aniyim. Very often they're from institutions, organizations, welfare organizations, Torah organizations, etc., etc. And it's an interesting question there whether or not we're allowed to turn people away. And it seems to me that the answer to that question is yes. It seems to me that where we're talking about an ani, an evyon, then we have to give to them. There are certain communal institutions which are necessary for the community, particularly because the poorer members of the community wouldn't be able to access those services otherwise. So, for example, take Jewish care. Without Jewish care, so I suppose many of the things which are available through Jewish care, wealthy people would buy into, and people who can't afford it wouldn't get it. So, you know, Jewish care, for example, has its day centres for the elderly. I suppose if there wasn't Jewish care day centres, then wealthy people would be able to pay, or their children would be able to pay to send them to day centres, and those who aren't wealthy would sit at home with not being looked after and with nothing to do. So this is part of, if you like, the communal infrastructure of providing charitable institutions. I'm not convinced that every time somebody comes from a yeshiva and knocks on our door, that we have to give to them. I think we have to give to Talmud Torah, both in our own city and further afield. But I think in those areas and other charitable endeavours, we've got a choice of how we want to allocate our money. I'm not speaking tonight about the halakhot of Maaseh Kesafim, but we assume that let's assume that people put aside a certain amount of money for charitable purposes. We've got a right to decide how we're going to allocate it. And it can happen, you know, if you have lots of people knocking on your doors, then you end up giving us, you know, a small amount to everybody, or, you know, not embarrassing amount to everybody, and you're not able to give to your favourite and favoured charities. And I think that, you know, there's this difference between an evyon. An evyon we can't turn away. Sometimes people come to our doors, and, you know, they are genuinely poor. Other times people are coming, you know, collecting for institutions. They've got a yeshiva here, or they've got they want to build a mikveh in a particular yeshuv, or whatever it might be, or they want to write a sefer Torah for a hospital, or somebody came to my door last week. They were collecting for an outreach project somewhere. These are all noble causes. I'm not convinced that we have to give to every one of them. And I think that we've got the right to choose what it is that we want to give to, what causes it is that we want to support. and also to make sure, I think this is an important notion, that we are balancing our charitable giving between giving money to people who are really financially strapped and giving to good causes. Good causes are important for us to give to, and in many instances, we can give our Maaseh Kesafim to that. I'm not sure that we can give our Maaseh Kesafim to the National Trust properties. I'm actually fairly certain that we can't. But there are other good causes. Yeshiva is a good cause, and we can give some of our Maaseh Kesafim to that. Having an outdoor playground built in a hospital in Israel, so the children can play outdoors when they're in hospital visiting ill relatives, that's a good cause. I'm not convinced that that's classical tzedakah. We can give some of our Maaseh Kesafim towards that, but that is only a good cause, and we need to make sure that at least a very sizable chunk of our tzedakah goes towards genuine poverty. And so those are really some thoughts on tzedakah. I want to wind things up now, but I always feel, certainly at this time of year, that going back to Rav Amital's story, that we should all give as much as we can and a little bit more, because that's essentially what we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for. We're asking him to be a little bit more generous with us, with our lives and our fortunes for the coming year than he absolutely needs to be. If we look at our own lives, how we live them, our deeds, sometimes we're quite lacking in what we should be doing, both Bein Azam L'Chafiron, Bein Azam L'Makom. Nevertheless, we're coming in front of our HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Rosh Hashanah, Kotzvein B'Sefer Chaim Tovim, Kotzvein B'Sefer Parnasah Tovah, etc., etc. We're asking our HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be very generous with us. We should show that we're willing to meet him, if possible, halfway. We'll also be generous with those who need our help. And in the zechut of us being generous to others, our HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be generous to us. But this is the last share before Rosh Hashanah. So I want to wish everybody Ketivah v'chatimah tova, Shana tova. Very grateful to everybody for joining us for the Shiurim. Those of you who will be in Ale over Rosh Hashanah, look forward to seeing you. If you're not going to be in Ale, then I hope you have a very meaningful Yamim Noraim and a very good year ahead. And Bezrat Hashem, in due course, we'll all be able to continue our Shiurim together. Kol Tov, everybody.